Here at Early Excellence, we specialise in early childhood education. We offer expert advice and guidance through training, consultancy and classroom design. With the Early Excellence podcast, we aim to inspire and support you as well as challenge your thinking. So if that's what you're looking for, you've come to the right place. Hello, everybody. If you enjoy listening to our podcast, then you're going to love our new app. It's called the Early Excellence Inspiration Hub. It has on it a world of EYFS advice and expertise very much at your fingertips for just £8 a month. See the Early Excellence website to find out more and also get started. Okay. On to this week's episode of the podcast then. This is episode 186 of the Early Excellence podcast, and it features Karen Fawkes, who is the editor of Nursery World. Now, it's Nursery World's 100th year this year, and so we talk about how it's evolved, how society has changed during that time, and also about the centenary edition, which is out next month. So here you go. Here's my Early Excellence podcast chat with Karen Fawkes. Hiya, Karen. How are you?
Pretty good. Thank you very much. How are you?
Very well. Very well. It's lovely to see you. And thank you so much for joining us for the podcast.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm absolutely delighted to be here.
Well, it's great to have you. Can we start off with a bit of an introduction? Can you tell us about your work? Because you've got a really interesting role. Would we start with that, if that's okay?
Yes, absolutely. So I've been the editor since 2021, following in the footsteps of Liz Roberts, who did a brilliant job for many years. And essentially, I manage the editorial content of the magazine and the website, and that includes the supplements we produce. I'm also involved in our banding range of live events, which include the annual Nursery World Awards, the Big Day Out event, and various conferences and other things that we've got going on. And in this respect, it's fair to say we are expanding our activities all the time and striving to find new ways that we can support our readers in their work. I'm really lucky to have a fantastic editorial team, and they are really experienced and as passionate about early education as I am. So while life is extremely busy, we all gain a great deal of satisfaction from what we do. And it really is a joy to work with everyone in the sector because they're such lovely people and they're so interesting and they're so enthusiastic about what they do. So yes. It's just absolutely brilliant.
Yes. And I think that comes across in the magazine, you know, that you can tell that actually they are, the articles are written by people who are passionate about what they're writing about. And you can tell that you pick up a copy of Nursery World, you can tell that actually, it is very much tuned into the sector and to what the sector wants, and to that real passion for young children's learning. I think that absolutely comes across. You know, and always, from my point of view, always has. You know, from right from the start, from my beginning as a teacher, my starting point as a teacher, it's something that I, you know, very much turned to. I can remember back to kind of as a new early years teacher at NQT, as it was at the time, you know, having a regular copy of Nursery World to then kind of work out, you know, what's happening in the world out there. Because teaching can be quite insular, I think. You know, when you're in a classroom, when you're in a setting, you are so focused on your group of children and your staff and your team and what you're doing today and tomorrow that actually you can lose sight of the bigger picture. I think publications like Nursery World are so important because you do need to see what's happening outside of your own classroom walls, really. I think. Do you get a sense of that from your readers? I'm sure you probably do.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm really delighted to hear you say that. It's great. I mean, so often I meet people and they say, gosh, I've been reading the magazine. I remember when I was training all those years ago and looking forward to it arriving. And yes, it is really about that bigger picture and marrying that with the practical day to day. work, and which is really important. And obviously everything is changing all the time, and we are there to reflect the sector, give it what it needs, the information and the trusted advice. And that definitely is the remit, which really, through decades of change, that remit actually remains pretty much unchanged.
No, absolutely.
I would say.
Yeah. And it's funny, isn't it, that the one constant is the fact that in terms of the sector, it changes. It changes in terms of staffing, you know, that we have a turnover of people who work within the early years. There are always new people joining the sector. But also there's always a change in terms of, well, in terms of policy, in terms of government policy, whether you're talking about particular reports or whether you're talking about frameworks or whatever you happen to be talking about. There's a turnover of different documentation that everybody has to get to grips with. Interestingly, one of the things that doesn't change as much as you would think is really the children, I suppose.
Yes, that's true.
The children and child development, that doesn't change that much, although certainly over the last few years, you could argue the case for, you know, that actually the needs have changed. But child development and young children, that doesn't change that much. So I think probably at its heart, you've still got so many things that actually you probably talked about for decades within nursery world that actually would stay the same. It's an interesting thing, isn't it? Changing but not changing.
Yes, no, that's absolutely, absolutely true.
Yeah. It is interesting, which brings us on to why we're talking today, actually, which is you have got a big anniversary or have a big anniversary this year, haven't you, at Nursery World? Tell us about it.
Yes, absolutely. It's been a fantastic year. We're actually technically 100 years old. And I use the term we loosely. It doesn't include me or the members of the current staff team, but the magazine is 100 years old in December. But we have been using the whole year to celebrate this milestone. I feel really privileged to be the editor at this momentous point. So as part of our celebratory year, we launched our Big Day Out event in May at the Business Design Centre in Islington. And this brought together more than 100 speakers across 6 live stages. And we were delighted that everybody really seemed to enjoy it, and hoping this is the start of something big. We've got our next one planned for the 16th of May next year. One of the things worth mentioning at the Big Day Out was an exhibition of Nursery World covers, which we had as a gallery of covers. It was absolutely fantastic because you could actually travel through those decades, looking at the covers, and just get a real sense of the enormity of the change, both in style, sensibilities, issues, everything really. So that was lovely. I'd also just like to mention that we've launched our Nursery World podcast as part of the anniversary year, and we're looking forward to producing a special festive one in December to go with the actual birthday, and that we'll be looking at vintage Christmases and all things festive going into the archive. So we're kind of hoping that that will have quite a party vibe.
Absolutely. Ready, it'll be the full works. Yeah, definitely. It sounds great. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And I hope that a lot of people have been enjoying our monthly A to Z series in the magazine, which is going back to the archive and pulling out some really fascinating extracts, but looking at contemporary subjects through the lens of the past. So really looking at past and future. And that builds into a complete A to Z of early childhood and early education subjects.
Absolutely. It's a study in itself, isn't it? You know, that you could almost sort of, you could imagine students writing a dissertation on that idea of the changing view of early years education over this period of time. In 100 years, you've seen a vast amount of change, you know, socially, you've seen a vast amount of change in terms of how we view children and who works with children, who engages with children, and how we see early childhood, you've seen all kinds of change within that time. So it's a real study, I think, in terms of societal change, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. It absolutely is. And with so many fantastic primary sources as well.
Yeah.
It's very rich, very rich.
Absolutely. With that in mind, I was going to ask you about the first issue of Nursery World. You know, going kind of that idea of, you know, have you been able to go right back to the very beginning?
And
I wonder what the first issue looked like.
Yeah, right back. So the first issue was published in December 1925, as I mentioned. And it has a beautiful Art Deco cover. And it's really all about class and quality. And the target readership of that very first issue was the children's nurse or nanny and the nursing mother as well. But we're talking very much about upper class mothers, including the aristocracy. And it's interesting, actually, that if you look back to the early decades of Nursery World, the royal family were very, very present within the pages. So that first issue, it really makes us think of the nanny, you know, that iconic figure in the starched uniform that's such a part of sort of British culture.
Yeah, the sort of Mary Poppins type character. Well,
exactly. Mary Poppins springs to mind. So, and I think the names of the contributors on that first issue say a lot about its positioning. So we have the likes of Viscountess Early, Dr. E. Sloane, and the Honourable Mrs. Sloane Chesser. And Nursery Council. Nursery Council was offered by Ethel A. Moon, who was the matron of a baby's hotel.
Ethel.
I'm not quite sure what a baby's hotel was.
Brilliant.
Yeah, and in terms of articles, we have subjects such as lighting the nursery, children's fashions, a sneak peek into the nursery of Winnie the Pooh, author A.A. Milne's nursery, which I think was probably quite a celebrity coup at the time, and children's book recommendations, advice on needlework, activities. And actually, it's really interesting because research did play an important part. Even back then, there was a real desire to understand child development. And if we fast forward to the most recent issue of Nursery World, we can see that this is still a powerful thread that links then and now. So, I mean, in terms of how that links to current content in Nursery World, for example, at the moment, we have a series running in the magazine, which is written by Professor Sam Wass, Dr. Gemma Goldenberg and Martin Ellery, which is looking at child development.
It's brilliant, isn't it? It's absolutely brilliant.
It was
very accessible, really accessible stuff. I talked to Sam on the podcast probably a couple of years ago now, and really, really interesting stuff. And I think he approaches it. Obviously, he does all of the research and has such a lot of research that he's been involved in, but he then presents it in a way that is accessible to everybody, which I think is the real key, and that not everybody manages to do.
Yeah.
You know, he has that sort of personality. He's really, you know, he's worked on TV, for example, and he's worked in different ways presenting and using social media.
Yes.
You know, he's absolutely taken that research and presented it in a way which is up to date in terms of how we access our information now, I think. It strikes me. And
yes,
I think he's a brilliant person to work with. I think he's absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. Yes, that's a really strong series for us. So that's great. And, I mean, Nursery World has provided a lens through which to view the big reforms of the 20th century, you know, since its launch. And I suppose today, that is a very big part of the magazine in the very fast-moving world that we're in now with online coverage. You know, we have a daily news feed. So that's something that's a little different, I think, to those early issues.
I was going to ask you, can I ask you, because
I'm
really curious to know, in terms of the magazine then, you talked about that first edition. So you've got that first edition, you've got a real coup in terms of getting A.A. Milne there in terms of And you've got that kind of focus on very much the upper classes and the kind of the nannying kind of idea. And presumably over time that has changed and it will have then become more about settings, more about settings as we know them, nursery schools and so on. But over time, you've, as we said before, there's been such a lot of change that I wonder about, if you look back at some of those previous issues, are there things there that you think, oh, crikey, I wouldn't touch that with a barge pole now. I wouldn't, there's no way I could run that article now, or there's no way I would include that photo now or anything. Do you see what I mean? I just wonder whether you look at and you think, oh, crikey, there's no way that I would be able to put that in.
Well, yes, no, that's absolutely true. And just really to just go back to what you were saying about when the magazine came out,
yes,
the fact that it was so focused on the upper classes, it's really interesting, actually, because my colleague Hannah Crown has done some more research and actually to find out who the first editor was, because she wasn't named. Hannah has found some correspondence between the original publishers, and that there was actually concern even then, back in 1925, that in fact the magazine was too snobbish and that it shouldn't be quite like that. And it's interesting to see that it did broaden its readership, actually, relatively quickly to encompass a much wider readership across.
Presumably it would have to, I guess, you know, in order to really sort of keep going as a publication, it would need to be broad, wouldn't it? Because it's already quite a niche area to talk about. So you'd have to really have a broad readership. I would imagine, I don't know.
No, that's absolutely, absolutely right. And it did certainly achieve that. So, I mean, yes, looking back in the archive, I mean, inevitably, given how much things have changed, it's both fascinating and jaw-dropping and perhaps quite shocking on occasion, really. But I think the first thing to say is that, as one might expect, the extent of the societal gender divide runs so deeply, and it only really begins to improve in the 1990s. I mean, just to set the tone, can I just read a very short thing? A letter from a husband and father from 1925. So it says, nowadays, women, to all appearances, care for little else than pleasure and display, short hair and even shorter skirts. If they can be induced by reason to return to their homes and undertake the noble responsibilities of wifehood and motherhood, you will have done a work of national importance. England will be a great country again when women adopt that motto of their grandmothers, at which they now mock, that a woman's place is in the home.
Oh.
I mean, that says it all, doesn't it? It just about says it all, really.
I can already sense the people who are listening to the podcast, I can sense them kind of, yes, them getting tense just listening to that. Yeah. That's quite something.
Yes, and I just have another little nugget that I think is really hilarious. 1950s, the advice was that no woman looks her best during childbirth.
Oh, come on, you're letting the
and
time
she,
down.
She said she may prefer her husband. Your husband may prefer to see you when it's all over, and you can sit up in bed with your makeup on, wearing your prettiest nightdress, and with a new baby held proudly in your arms.
Gosh.
How about that?
Oh, isn't it?
Oh, I mean,
isn't that horrific?
Yes, yes. Deep breath, yes.
Dear me. What about any images within the within nursery world over the last 100 years that you think, gosh, look at that photo? Anything that stands out? Whether that be fashion or whether that be...
Can you imagine a young boy in knitted swimming trunks? I mean, yes. I
not
mean,
very
missing...
practical, I think. Anything knitted for swimming, I don't think is going to work very well, is it?
Well, I mean, you'd be amazed. Everything was knitted. It really was. There was an absolute, and I mean, when you think coming through from the austerity of the war, those, you know, needlework, knitting, they were really... fundamental to the role of women in terms of looking after and educating young children. Yes, I mean, there are some very, very amusing looking, yeah, pictures, startled looking children, and you know, the ads as well are really yes, quite remarkable.
Yeah, well, definitely. There are certainly things that, you know, from even not that long ago, you're only sort of maybe talking 50 years or so, but that actually you think, crikey, that there's no way that would happen today. You know, I'm thinking of, this wasn't in Nursery World, I ought to say, but I'm sure I've seen a photo online of skyscrapers in New York where in the, I think it was probably, I would imagine 30s or 40s, that if you lived in a skyscraper in New York, you could buy something that you put outside your window that was basically like a cage that you attached to your window that your child would then play in. So, you know, there might have been 40 stories up, but literally you are in a box that is just suspended above a huge drop. And that's just horrific, isn't it, when you think about it? You know, giving your child the space to play outside was the case of being in a box suspended above the ground like that.
Yes, absolutely. It's mind-blowing. I mean, I thought those, you know, the play pens of the 1950s with their bars were pretty horrible things. But
absolutely. Yeah, play pens were a
big thing. That's on a whole other level, literally a high level, isn't it? Yes.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Yeah, literally. Yes. Okay, so plenty of things that we definitely wouldn't run now. Presumably in your time at Nursery World, you mentioned Sam already, haven't you? You've come into contact with, I would imagine, lots of experts. So people in the field, people who are researchers, people who've written widely on early years practice. I wondered whether you could kind of give us a glimpse behind the velvet curtain in terms of Nursery World and tell us who is it you've met and tell us a bit about the people that you've met along the way.
Gosh. Well, I mean, if one looks at the recipients of our Lifetime Achievement Award, which we've had 17 of those now, it really does read like a who's who of early years luminaries, from people like Tina Bruce, Wendy Scott, Helen Moylett, Julie Fisher, a whole roll call of fantastic experts that have given so generously to the magazine over the years and are still writing for us. I think it's worth actually mentioning one of the very first experts in Nursery World, which goes right back to the 20s, and that's Susan Isaacs, who is recognised as a pioneer. And she was a teacher psychologist and really a great thinker behind modern child development theory. And she wrote as Ursula Wise in Nursery World.
Oh, and she also used a different name.
Yes, she wrote under that pseudonym, and she answered readers' questions on the magazine's problem page.
Did you know why she did it like that? Was there a reason for using a different name?
Well, I think she really wanted to translate her sort of academic ideas into warm advice, and perhaps she just wanted to keep those two worlds a bit separate.
To make
her knowledge accessible to people. So it's a slightly different sphere, really, I think, that she was in.
That's interesting, isn't it? I never knew that.
And also just, you know, mentioning again Tina Bruce, she's been, a fantastic contributor to the magazine, and she's been so key in terms of the work she did on the Birth to Three Matters framework and the foundation stage profile back in 2003.
Yes, of course.
A lot of what we do now, which is underpinned by the EYFS in terms of the way we approach the learning areas. So a lot of that goes back to Tina and people like her that were working.
And Helen Moylett, of course.
At that time. And Helen Moylett as well. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. No, definitely. In fact, just personally, you know, obviously my role brings me into contact with certain people that I really, you know, hold really highly.
Yes.
And I remember when I first came out of teaching and joined Early Excellence, got my job at Early Excellence. And this was in, I'm trying to think now exactly, about 2015, something like that. And my first role was based at the Early Excellence Centre in Huddersfield. We always had a range of different speakers who used to come and deliver training, some of which would be our own curriculum team, some of which would be people from out and about, you know, national speakers. And I'd literally just come out of the classroom as an early years teacher and as a deputy head teacher. And one of my roles really was to, if I was the curriculum person at the centre on that day, was to make sure really that the person who was coming to speak, whoever it might be, that, you know, first of all, we introduced them to the audience, but also at lunchtime, we'd sit and have our lunch with them.
Right, so, yeah.
Really funny in that one minute I was in the classroom using the EYFS framework that Helen Moylett and Nancy Stewart had written. And then the next minute, it felt like literally overnight, the next minute I was introducing Helen Moylett and having lunch with her. And it was the most enlightening hour ever from my point of view, as somebody who's, you know, a real geek in terms of early years practice.
Yeah.
Sitting for an hour or so with Helen Moylett having lunch and chatting about how she'd written the EYFS framework was just absolutely incredible for me, coming out of the classroom, having used the document. And she talked about how herself, Helen, and Nancy Stewart, I basically, as we were sat chatting, having lunch, I said, you know, how did you start? You know, how did you start with the framework? You know, where, if you've got, you know, literally a blank canvas and you don't know where to start with it, what did you do? And she said, well, basically what we did was we worked on our kitchen table and we kind of decided what needed to be in it and we cut them all up.
Yeah.
It's almost like, it's a bit like David Bowie writing a song. He used to do that, cutting up different bits of
people. Yeah, yeah.
He used to write lines and then decide where and put them in the song.
Yeah.
Like that. But she, you know, she said what we did was we wrote all of the different things that needed to be in it and how we were going to kind of, I suppose, group them. And then we kind of shuffled the pack and moved things around and decided how it all fitted together. And it's just this lovely image, I think, from my point of view, this lovely image that you see them kind of sat around the kitchen table deciding on what's going to go where and why and kind of having these discussions around the practice and what that would mean for the practice. It was just so enlightening. So yeah, people like that are absolutely amazing.
Yes,
they know such
absolutely.
A lot and such a wealth of knowledge.
Yes, and I'm really lucky actually because Helen lives just around the corner from me, so which is fantastic. I get the opportunity to meet up with her quite often, which is really lovely.
Oh, see, I'm picturing you now walking your dog along Brighton Beach. I don't know whether you've got a dog, but sort of just bumping into Helen Moylett as you go along.
Absolutely, yeah. I haven't got a dog, but it's not so far off, yeah.
There you go. Very good. Okay, so we've talked about the experts writing for the magazine. The other thing I was going to ask you about is that, of course, you've got, the whole year has been about celebrating, hasn't it? The 100 years, the anniversary. But, of course, December is the actual anniversary, isn't it? It's the anniversary edition, I suppose.
Yes, it is. And I'm actually really excited about our special 100 years anniversary supplement, which will be coming out as a separate publication with the December issue. And it's different to the anniversary supplements that we've had in the past, in that rather than focusing wholly on the archive and the history of early childhood and education, we're actually holding the archive up as a lens to look at the contemporary early years landscape and a springboard for the future as well. So we wanted to give everyone within the early years community a voice within the supplement, so led by the early years educators who are working with children right now, but also to talk to the business leaders, trainers, researchers, suppliers in the sector, just to really provide a 360 degree view. So I'm hoping it's going to make this supplement really, really unique, in that we're looking back and we're looking forward as well, and looking at where the sector's headed in terms of its professional status and its priorities. So that's really the aim of the content. There will be plenty of extracts from the archive as well. So one of the highlights actually is looking anecdotally at what Nursery World has meant to readers and contributors over the years. And we've just got some wonderful personal stories, you know, how it's contributed to careers or life changes, even people getting together and getting married through the letters pages, and things like the educational travel trips that ran to places, you know, like China and India and Scandinavia, and what the personal experience of the people who went on those was at the time, and how that's effective, what they do in their practice. And we'll have a Hall of Fame, which features everyone who has received a Lifetime Achievement Award since it was launched in 2009. So really, in essence, I hope the celebratory issue provides a really fascinating look back, and also a look forward, but really encapsulating the idea that, as you were saying right at the beginning, Andy, so much has changed, but also that key thing about children and their emotional well-being and development is still absolutely the core of everything, and hasn't really changed a great deal. And it's interesting, I think the first edition in 1925 proclaimed that the nursery nurse, as it says, is the greatest profession in the world, which is really lovely. And yeah, we still hold with that. So that hasn't changed.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, I think it's really interesting to talk to you about that kind of the 100 years, looking back over the 100 years, but also looking forward as well, looking forward to the new edition, looking forward to the anniversary edition and, you know, the December edition, and also getting a flavour of kind of how you keep moving forward, you know, with the podcast and kind of online, working online as well, and so on. And it's, yeah, navigating the changing times as we talked about earlier. Karen, it's been brilliant to chat to you. It's absolutely brilliant. I've really enjoyed it. It's so interesting to think about kind of the changing time over 100 years and what that's meant for people who work with young children and working in nurseries, and but also how Nursery World as a publication has supported people over such a long time. It's been brilliant to talk to you. So thank you so much for joining me.
Well, thank you very much for having me on. I've really enjoyed talking to you today. It's been great.
So there you have it. Thank you very much to Karen for joining us for this week's episode of the podcast. And of course, thank you to you people for listening along as well. Have a good week, everybody, and we will see you next time.